John chapter 6. You can remain seated. I'm going to read a few verses here. Let you keep your seat as long as you promise not to go to sleep. John chapter 6. We started there in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain and sat there. He sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in this place, and the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that shall come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. I taught a short lesson here for the youth a couple weeks ago on Friday night, and I've had it on my mind since then. I hadn't been able to get away from it. It's a quick and simple lesson for them, but keeps growing and growing on me. Can't get off my mind. I had a good couple other directions to try to go tonight, and the Lord kept bringing this one back around and around. If the Lord is too simple, and I think the Scripture says what it needs to say. I don't need to add too much to it. The Scripture can say what it needs to say. So that's what I'm going to try to preach tonight. It's plain and simple, to the point, and I believe it's what the Lord has for us here tonight. It may be super simple, maybe super short. We'll find out. Anyway, I believe I'm preaching what the Lord has would have for me to preach tonight. I find myself oftentimes, I believe it's pretty common, that I find myself busy. Sometimes I feel too busy to accomplish the work I need to be accomplishing for the Lord. I feel like I'm not doing enough. I feel like I don't have a time to do enough. It's easy in our day to get distracted. I see other men of God that are just seem like they're accomplishing so much more than I'm getting accomplished. They're older than I am. I feel like they're working circles around me, and I'm not getting anything done. That's what it feels like sometimes. I found that I have too many distractions sometimes. This world is constantly pulling at us, and if it's doing that to me, I'm sure it's doing it to you too. This world is constantly pulling at our minds and at our schedules, and oftentimes, sad but true, the things of God are the things that get left behind. Those are the things that are easily not done. Reading your Bible is easily forgotten if you got other things you got to get done. It shouldn't be that way, but often in our minds, it's the way it works out. We have so much other stuff going on, we forget to spend time with God and God's Word and prayer every day. Often those things get overlooked. Anyone here could probably do a little better than that. Anybody here could probably do a little better. Anybody here could probably step up a little bit. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Oh, just me then. Okay. Anyway. I believe a lot of times we run out of time. Run out of time for God. I'm too busy oftentimes. God's will might be for us to witness to so-and-so down at the store. We got other things in our mind. Our mind's going in 1,000 different directions. We're mad at somebody else. There's no way we're ready to present the gospel to somebody down at the store, different things. We are so blinded by life. I believe we're missing out on a lot of things the Lord wants us to get done. Amen. Lord, so I'm going to preach a little while here, really short and simple, on lessons from a little lad. I heard this verse this morning, a little radio devotional thing I listen to sometimes. Isaiah 6:8, a verse I've heard many times. It says, "Also heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And said, 'I, here am I, send me.'" One part of that verse has never really caught my eye before is that first part. "Also I heard." Pretty simple. You know what that means? It means that Isaiah was listening to the Lord. He had his mind open listening to what the Lord had for him to do. But many times we don't hear God because we're simply not listening. We don't hear what God has for us because we have too many other things pounding into our brain, too many other things taking our schedule, too many other things filling it up. We can't listen to him. If that doesn't convict you, you're either not listening to me now or you're a lot more spiritual than I am. How many times has God pushed or pulled on us and we are too busy doing other things? How many times has he convicted us to do something for him? We're too busy to do it. How many times have I missed out on what the Lord had for me? I was too busy. Lord, forgive me. How much more could I do for the Lord if I was simply listening to him like I'm supposed to be? How much more time would I have? How much time have I wasted already? I'm not that old. How much time have I already wasted being too busy with the things of this life? I want to preach now on this little boy here, this little lad. He was not distracted by the things of this world, but in fact, he was used of God. No doubt you've probably heard this passage before. I think everybody in here has been in church for a while. You've heard this passage before. It's a very popular miracle. It's preached on by a lot of people. It's taught in Sunday school all over the world. This miracle is unique, or is rare, and that is one of the few instances that's recorded in every one of the four Gospels. Not every story, not every miracle, not everything that Jesus did is recorded in every Gospel. This one is in all four of them. It's not the only one. There's not very many of them to do that way. That tells me it's made an impact on these disciples. Now, it is the same story in each Gospel, but as we know, we get to see different points of view from each disciple. Each one of these Gospels, we get to see a different point of the view of the same story. John here, he starts off in sort of the middle of the day. You can turn to Matthew chapter 14 and get a more full story of what's going on. So turn to Matthew chapter 14. Hold your place in John. Matthew chapter 14. We'll start down there in verse number 13 of Matthew 14. And skip a little bit ahead just for sake of time. The beginning of this chapter is talking about the beheading of John the Baptist. There's the trickery from Herodias and her mother, and Herod while he was drunk, and Herodias danced before him, his knees, a wicked, terrible thing they did there. But she asked Herod for the head of John the Baptist in the charger. So Herod did that for her. He brought killed John the Baptist, beheaded him, brought the head of it to his niece, and gave it to her. And that's where we find ourselves here in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 14. Matthew 14, verse number 13. Disciples hear what's going on, they go tell Jesus. Verse number 13, it says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And it was evening when his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place. The time is now past, and the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals, buy themselves food. Over in Mark chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. You can see them do the same thing. Over in Luke, you can see them do the same thing. It's just, Jesus tells the disciples to come apart into a desert place so they can find some rest. It says that in Mark 6. They have buried the remainder of the body of John the Baptist. And Jesus, their leader, now is comforting them. No doubt their former leader, John the Baptist, he's gone. They had to go bury him. No doubt they're grieving. They've lost the man they've looked up to, John the Baptist. They've left John following Jesus. John the Baptist just had to bury him. He was a martyr for the sake of Christ. Jesus is trying to pull him to the side, allowing him to go into a private place to rest and to grieve. That's what he's doing here. Jesus and his disciples, they go by ship, by themselves, says privately, go by themselves, but people saw them, and they ran after them. And it says in Mark chapter 6, they even ran before him. They got there before they ran around and got there before the ship got there. They beat him to the private place, supposed to be private, no longer private. And Jesus, being moved with compassion, Luke says he's moved with compassion, because they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He's moved with compassion. He has to do something for them. Yeah. And I know I'm covering a lot here, but you know the story. So he begins to teach them. He begins to preach to them. He begins to heal the sick. It says that they're there. They do this the remainder of the day, however long that is. I don't know what time of day it was, but they get late into the evening. And it's time for the people to eat. Pretty simple. Some disciples say, send the people away so they can eat. Send them away so they can buy their own food. Disciples are probably still hoping for that time of rest that they came there for in the first place. It probably sounds like most of us. Send them away so we can take a break. Another passage, Jesus said, give you them to eat. In John, passage we were at just a minute ago, John chapter 6, Jesus doesn't say, give them to eat. Jesus says, when shall we buy bread? He says, how are we going to buy bread? He doesn't ask if they should or how they should. He says, how are we going to pay for it? When shall we buy bread? Disciples said, send them away. Jesus said, where do we buy the bread? John says, he just approved them, for he himself knew what he would do. So Jesus has preached, he has taught, he has healed. In the evening, this giant crowd is hungry. Jesus is wanting to feed them. He's fed them spiritually, now he wants to feed them physically. And there's your scripture for a potluck, if you ever wanted one. I want to go back to John chapter 6 here, if you will. John chapter 6, you should still be there, John 6. I want to focus in on this verse number 9. The rest of this message here. John chapter 6, verse number 9, it says, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? The people are hungry. Jesus is going to feed them. Philip says, we can't even afford to feed them a little bit. He says, if we spent 200 penny worth, we couldn't even give them each a little bit. That's how many people there were. Now, which the food would cost. It's just, they said, it's just too big of a job, Lord, to feed these people. Have you ever said that before? It's just too big of a job, Lord. The town is just too big of a job. Those folks are just too big of a job, Lord, that'll cost too much. We can't even afford to feed them if we tried. That's what Philip is saying here. I don't know about you, but I've thought that before. Too big of a job, Lord. Aren't you glad God owns the cattle on a thousand hills and he can supply the food if he needs it? It says in John 6:9, I'll read it to you again. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? I'm going to focus in on this lad here just for a few minutes. It's going to be quick and simple. There's 3 simple points on this lad, and I'll let you out of here. You can go home. Number one, the lad was prepared. He came with food. Has it ever crossed your mind that there are over 5,000 men plus women and children, plus Jesus and the disciples there, and the only food they can find is from a little boy? And of all those thousands of people, the one little boy is the only one that packed a lunch. The only one they can find. Everybody else must have already ate theirs. I don't know. Nothing else. He's the only one that has the food with them. 5,000 men. And that's one thing. You say, well, there's men. They didn't bring food with them. There's also women and children. Somebody should have brought some food. This little boy is the only one that brought any. There was apparently one little lad that was wise enough to bring a lunch with him. That tells me a few things. I know this is going to be simple. Number one, he came to stay. When the little boy left home to follow Jesus, he had plans to stay all day. He didn't plan on leaving. He planned on staying with Jesus as long as he possibly could. He came prepared, brought food with him. Are you prepared to spend your life with Jesus? We were talking the other day with my parents and some folks back in North Carolina. I had heard that we had purchased that piece of property here. They were surprising. That means they're not coming back. Well, no kidding. Of course that means they're not coming back. They was not planning on coming back. We laughed about them. And that's kind of why we left. It ought to be the same with you. If God has placed you somewhere, and currently that place is New Hope Baptist Church, you ought to be plant some roots down deep and not plan on moving them, not plan on digging them up. Plant some roots down deep and be used of the Lord. God intends to use you. You better put down some roots so you can be used. This little boy was prepared to be used. He came to stay. Not only did he come prepared to stay, but he came prepared to share. His lad in Hebrew means a little boy, a child. Not a teenager. It means a little boy. 5 loaves and 2 fish seem pretty extravagant to me for a little boy's lunch. Maybe I'm reading between the lines the way it seems to me. I believe he came prepared to share. Are you coming prepared to share? Simple thought, I know, but it doesn't change the meaning of it. Do you come to church prepared to share? Do you go to the grocery store prepared to share the gospel? Do you come prepared? I have a guy that almost every time I see him in town, he asks for the verse of the day. And it took me a few times. I had to make sure I was prepared and had the verse, or else I was going to look like a fool when he comes asking the pastor the verse of the day. I didn't have one. Learn to be prepared. Are you prepared, church? Someone asks you right now how to get to heaven. Could you tell them? It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ought to be prepared to share. One more thing I thought of as little boy's preparation. The Bible says, he just says lad, which means little boy. It means a child. I know he's little. I don't know how young. He's little. He's a child. It's very likely he did not pack his lunch himself. It's likely his parents packed it for him. Just my own thinking here. Any of you parents helping to prepare your children to be used of God? When's the last time your parents taught your own children about Jesus? It ought not be just the church. It ought not be Sunday school. It ought not be the only place to hear the stories in the Bible. What are you doing to prepare your little lad to be used, to be available, to be used of God? Are you teaching them? Are you packing their lunch, so to speak? Are you preparing them to be used when the Lord convicts and pulls? Preparing them to know what salvation is when the Lord convicts and pulls? Are you preparing them to be used of God when he pulls and tells them what to do? It's something to think about. We have a responsibility as parents. Are you preparing them to be used? Not only for our own personal relationship with the Lord, we ought to be pouring all we can to our children as well. Oh, I want to let them make their own decisions about religion. I don't want to influence them. Some people say that. It's hogwash. That's not a Alaskan word, but it's hogwash. It's ludicrous. That's a cop-out for a lazy parent. That's what that is. If you don't influence them, somebody else will. It's your job to influence them. It's your job to teach them. You ought to be influencing them. If you aren't influencing to prepare them for the Lord, then you're influencing preparing them to not do anything with the Lord, to ignore it. This little lad was prepared. Are you prepared tonight? Prepared to be used of God. You young men, prepared to be used of God if God calls you. God doesn't call everybody to preach. Doesn't mean he won't call you to preach. Are you prepared? Is your life lined up so the Lord can use you? Keeping yourself pure, keep yourself clean so God can use you. Keeping yourself right so God can use you. Are you prepared? Are you saved? That's the most important part. Are you saved? Are you living a separated life? Are you prepared to be used? Number one, he was prepared. Number two, he was humbled. In verse number 9 again, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? He was humbled. When we tell this story, we always make a big deal about this little lad, and I'm doing that tonight, make a big deal of the little lad. Oftentimes we even make it into the title, and it did tonight. He's definitely one of the main characters in teaching this lesson in Sunday school. We always talk about the lad's lunch. He's a big deal when we tell the story. Did you realize that this lad is only mentioned one time in the entire Bible? We don't even know his name. We call him lad. John mentions the word lad in verse 9. He says, there's a lad here. That's the only time he's ever heard of. Matthew doesn't say anything about him. Mark doesn't say anything about him. Luke doesn't say anything about him. And John only mentions him the one time. It doesn't even say his name. We make a big deal about this lad. But if it were not for John, we wouldn't even know he existed. Are you willing to give up your lunch to be non-existent? You want to sacrifice and make a difference even if nobody else knows about it? Are you willing to give and give and nobody else know? Are you willing to work for God and nobody else know about it? Are you willing to make a sacrifice and nobody else know about it? You ought to be. Of course, we would say, oh yeah, preacher, that's easy. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. And put in the situation, are you willing to do that? Would you be willing to give all you had to the Lord and nobody else would know about it? It's a big calling. That'll be our mission. To do a work for the Lord and not get any of the glory out of it. It's not about me and you. There are a lot of big name preachers on TV, if you want to call them preachers, big televangelists in our nation. They're building themselves great big names for themselves, building great wealth and great buildings, great followings, and very little God involved in the entire thing. Then there are men in the backside of nowhere in the United States and men overseas and meeting in a community center can't afford to build a church building, doing a work for our winning souls for Christ that we don't know their name. Which one do you think pleases the Lord? What are you working for tonight? What are we giving for? Is it to get our own name out? Is it to get a pat on the back? Is it just to get the name of our church out? It's all about the Lord. We all love getting a pat on the back. It's natural to enjoy that. We all like getting an attaboy every now and then. Our flesh likes that as normal. But why are you doing what you're doing? Is it for you? Is it for them? And for the Lord? Do we do what we do as a church just for our name personally, our name as a church, or do we do it for the Lord? What's our purpose, church? Why are we here? Why are we meeting on a Wednesday night? Is it for others or is it for the Lord? Better get it right. This little boy, out of all the 5,000 plus people that were there, he was the only one that was used of God. And if it were not for John, we wouldn't know anything about it. You say, well, why would God do that? Why wouldn't God put his name up in lights and praise him? Because honestly, it's not about him. Thank you. It's not about the lad. Verse 14 tells us what it's all about. John 6:14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet should come into the world. It wasn't about the boy, it was about Jesus. It was about being used of God so God could be real to these men. That's our purpose here as a church, to be used of God so God could be made real to man. People ought to not just see, they ought to not see us, they ought to see him. We ought to be pointing people back to him. It's not about the lad, it's not about me, it's not about you. It's about making Jesus real to other people. See, the lad was used because he's prepared. He was used because he was humbled. He was used nicely just because he was available. Verse 9 says, there is a lad here. You know, that's a simple thought. The whole message is simple. It's not supposed to be complicated. This boy was used because he was prepared. He was used because he was humbled. He wasn't there for the glory. And lastly, he was used because he was available. He was there. There's a lad here. He couldn't be used if he wasn't there. If you want to be used of God to do great things at church, be at church. You want God to use you, be in the work of the Lord. You want God to use you at church, be a part of the church, be a part of the member and part of the family of church. Get in and be a part. Be here. Be available. I like when people are willing to be used. I'm thankful for the men we have. They're willing to stand up when I ask them to and do whatever that needs to be done for the gospel's sake. Just be here. Be available to be used. I know some have to work, and I understand that. When it's possible, be here. We have playgroup on Thursdays. You ladies, you're available to come. Be here. We have youth group on Fridays. Be here. Be a help. Pretty soon, we start back visitation on Saturdays. Be here. Be part of it. I'm praying about different ministries the Lord will have us to do in the future, different things to make available for people to be used. Be here. No point in starting a ministry if people can't be part of it. I need somebody to be here. You say, well, why does so-and-so get involved in everything? I don't get involved in anything. Probably because they're here. Just be here. Are you willing to be used? Are you willing to sacrifice your time to be used of God? Time is one of those things that's hard to give up. A lot of us, we give money. This church, I'm thankful for that, is willing to give money. You're willing to give time. Time's a valuable thing. We're called to live for God, to give Him our time. Are you willing to sacrifice your time for the things of God? Not just in missions. I'm thankful for the burden of missions, our church, but local missions as well. Are you available? 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Lord enabled Paul because He counted him faithful, because he was here. It's not all about the qualifications on paper. It's about being faithful. It's about being available. Are you available to be used of God? Don't answer me. It's not between you and me. Examine your own self. Talk to the Lord about it. It's between you and Him. Isaiah 6:8, also heard the Lord, voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And said, I hear Him, I send me. I promise you, you go home tonight, you make sure everything's right between you and God, you get any unconfessed sin to get them right, and you pray that in your heart, Lord, here am I, send me. The Lord will send you somewhere. It may not be up in the spotlight, it may not be where everybody else can see about it, see it. It may just be your five loaves and two fishes. Nobody else may know your name. But if you're willing to be used, God will use you. As long as it makes Jesus real to somebody, that's what matters. I told you before, we used to go preach in the nursing home twice a month. One thing I learned there, it's not about me at all. It's not about me. The ministry is not about me. I learned to preach while people were snoring. That's important. I learned to preach while people were getting phone calls and answering. We had one guy in there, and his family bought him a cell phone. The elderly man, he didn't really know how to use it, and it would ring in service, and he'd ring and ring and ring, and he'd finally get it to stop making noise, but then he'd answer it, and he'd start talking on the phone while I'm preaching. You have to preach over his conversation. You learn ministry is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the preacher. It's about the Lord. It's all about Him. You're going to learn some humility. Have somebody answer the phone while you're preaching. It's not about us. New Hope Baptist Church is not about us. It's not about you. By verse number 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. It's about making Jesus real to people. Are you available to be used? You want to give up whatever He asks of you for his use. Maybe it's just a little lunch He wants. Maybe it's a little more than that. Are you willing to be used? Are you prepared? Are you humbled? Are you available? There's a lot we can learn from a little lad. Don't even know his name. Mentioned one time in the entire Bible. He changed the life of over 5,000 people, most likely. They realized that Jesus was real. That's one little lad. A lot we can learn. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You already done for us. Thank You for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank You for the Scriptures. Lord, thank You for the simple thought and the challenge it was to me. Lord, I pray You help us go our separate ways this week and help us to do more for You in Jesus' name.